There is an awful lot of people that are confused, bewildered, on the wrong path, and they don't know why. They don't have purpose in their lives, right? And they really need to have that. I was thinking, and many of you can testify to this, but so I'll be 70 years old, right? And I got saved when I was 19 years old. So that is over, it's going to be over 50 years that I've been saved. There has not been one decision that I made that is greater than the decision that I made for the Lord. That has been affected my life so much. And that's not just because I'm a preacher. That's because the Lord affects your life. When you're saved, when you come to know him, he affects your life more than anything that you can have in your life. Amen? And so that's what we're looking at. So let's look at this one. All right? This is going to be number 5. All right? V there. Why salvation shows us our purpose. Why salvation shows us our purpose. So look at it in Romans 8:6, if you would. Romans 8:6. And remember, this is the time when you can add to it or you can maybe tell a blessing about what we're going over or what God has done in your life and all of that. Speak up. Just tell me, slow down, Pastor, I have something to say or whatever. Go like this. I'll notice it. Everybody else will too. All right. But anyway, look at this. Here it is. Romans 8:6. And it says, when we're looking into 8:6, to get in context, this is a wonderful verse. Let's look at it. Here it is. For they that are after the flesh. So what does it mean to be after the flesh? Worldly. That's right. Worldly. You can tell someone's after the flesh by how they dress. By how they talk. By how they think. By what they drink. I mean, let's go into all of it. You can tell when someone's in the flesh. Okay, but then look what else it says. They do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, large S, so it means what? The Holy Spirit. They that are after, in other words, they're listening. They're listening to the Holy Spirit, right? And so they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. All right, Holy Spirit of God. So here's the Holy Spirit of God. And what direction do you think he's going to lead you in? Okay, the right one. What will he do? What will he do to direct you in that right way? Where will he bring you? The Word. He's going to bring you back to the Word, right? Now, he's going to convict you. He can convict you about things that are wrong. You might not even know as a young Christian or maybe a young person that is being convicted by him, you may not even know the verses. But the Holy Spirit will bring, this is wrong, this is bad, this is leading you in the wrong direction, right? And that's why he's convicting you. You're in there and everybody's smoking pot and everything else and they're all, isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? And then he comes to your mind and saying, this is not good. This is not going to bring you in the right direction, right? And so the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Now, once you get saved, well, then God promised him to be your guide. He's your guide and he's going to guide you in the direction of this world. How to walk in this world for the Lord, right? There's nothing else that can do that. Buddha can, okay, I want you to meditate and say, a lot, and different things like that. It might help you to find, maybe to what they call balance, right? Balance in your life and things like that. There are some things probably that can teach you how you can handle things in life. It doesn't mean that can teach you or take care of your sins, right? It won't bring up your sins. It will take and the Holy Spirit is going to bring up your sins. He's going to bring up the different things that need to be handled in your life and all. So let's go on. So here is six. For to be carnally minded is death. Death, okay? So now don't think of death, the definition. The way that a human being thinks of death is death. That's it. Look, this person's dying. This person's dead. There's nothing else we can do. This person's dead. There's nothing else they can do. They cease to exist. That is not the definition that God tells you. That's not the definition the Holy Spirit tells you, that this person ceased to exist. No. Jesus said it. I believe it was in 16, right? Luke 16. That person has not ceased to exist. That person has opened up their eyes in hell. Or that person has opened their eyes in God's bosom, you know, in God's love, right? And where we would understand heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? That lady, 93. Be absent from the body, see you later. Is to be present with the Lord. Amen? That's wonderful. That's the difference between those two persons, those two things. When it says death, let's put it in God's definition, separation. Separation from God. That's how God looks at death. You're going to be eternally separated. That's what death is all about. And when it has to do with here, you're separated from God, his purpose, his life, what he has for you, what he wants for you. You're all separated from it, right? And so to be carnally minded is death. That separation from God. But what does it say? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Who would not want that? Who in this whole world would not want that? Life. Life. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more. Wow. You mean to tell me, Lord, I'm going to have a good life down here if I know you? Yes. No matter what happens. No matter what happens. There have been blind people that have been struck blind. And some of the greatest hymn. Who is that lady? Fanny Crosby. Blind. And remember they asked Fanny? They said, oh, Fanny, wouldn't it be better if they could just find some way where you could see? And what did Fanny say? No. No, I want that. I don't want that yet, because the next time I open my eyes, I'm going to see Jesus. That's what she said. And the purpose of her life, look at the purpose of her life. I'd say it was pretty abundant. I'd say that we are blessed. She's been dead a long time, which means that she has gone to know the Lord, right? I mean, right now, right? And she has seen the Lord, and eternity has started for her. Her purpose is just begun. And your purpose. Your purpose. What does God have for you to do? You may not be as talented as Fanny, but still God has a purpose for all of us. And that is to have life and peace within our life. Peace with God. Isn't that the greatest peace we could have? Not only peace with each other, but peace with God. And Jesus is the one that made that possible. Life, that eternal life that God has given to us, Jesus has made that possible too, right? And then he goes on, look what it says. So then, okay, once we have this, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They're not going to find it. They're going to be frustrated all the time because they can't find what they're looking for, no matter what it is. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, but... Then it gives us a but again. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. See, the apostle knew through the Romans, I know you. You're not in the flesh. You're not following after the flesh and after the gods and after everything that your culture wants you to follow after. You're not doing that. It says, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The expectations of the Apostle Paul, someone who is unsaved, someone who does not have the Spirit of God in them, they are none of his. I don't expect them to act like Christians. And when they do, they are just faking it. And they really can't fake it, not when they close the doors at night. They can't fake it from their wife or their husband or their children. They can't fake it. Because to live for Christ, to know Christ, is to be able to know him in a consistent way. Now none of us are perfect, amen? None of us are perfect, amen?
Amen.
Okay, all right. But the thing is that we can tell whether or not we know Christ and whether or not we have the Holy Spirit. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you know that promise right there? That's a promise of what? Resurrection. That's the promise of resurrection. Do you know, as I was studying, turn to Psalm 71. So I'm studying Psalm 71, and I'm going down and taking a look at context and different things like this. And I love this when I could come across things like this. This is fantastic. So here's Psalm 71, and you know what we're looking at, like in 15 and all of that. And so we've been doing that. And look in verse 20. It's a resurrection verse. It's not a resurrection of Christ. It's a resurrection of us. This is 1,000 years before Christ. This is what it says. Thou, verse 20, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
From thou shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. I'll tell you, that's 1,000 years before Christ. Did they preach about resurrection before the Lord and before he could do it? Oh, yeah. The Lord told us about that, right? That's been a promise for a long, long time that we will rise from the dead and all. And so it's just wonderful. So that's 8:6. Let's look at any questions on that one or comments on that one. Okay, look at this. 2 Corinthians, a very famous verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17, many of you probably either know it or have heard it before, quoted. Okay, I can hear you turning to it. You there? Amen?
Amen.
All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. The creature meaning what? Creation. God's done something. All right? We're talking about purpose, right? We're talking about knowing our purpose. God does something. You know? Remember, I was saved by reading the Catholic Bible on my bed. No Baptist came up to me and told me what it was. Or said it anything. The next day, I went in. You've heard it before. I went in. I got burned like I always do every day and started cursing. And as soon as I started cursing, the Holy Spirit talked to me in my heart and said, we talked about this. You talked to me last night. And I apologized to him immediately. Why? Because I was new. That had never happened to me of all the different things, you know, when I was a young man, I watched Kung Fu. And so, oh, I know none of you watch that. But anyway, I watched Kung Fu, and I was so enamored by the Eastern understanding. You know, maybe that's true. You know, maybe I should walk that way on rice paper and see if I can. I was just a young guy, you know, I was just 19, you know, and just wondering about what all the different things that I could do, you know, and all of that. You know, that was so out of reach. That was so out of reach. I mean, this guy was in the temple, you know, doing all of this. I mean, ever since he was a small kid, he's, just instructed by these priests and all of that. And you'd think somehow, you know, well, maybe I can learn a little something from that. You know something, it was more frustrating because it didn't change anything. It did not change anything. I even went and learned a bit of karate, you know, and learned a little bit of styling and all of that. And then I was thinking about the more I learned, you know, most of these moves I'm learning is either poking out someone's eye or you know, smashing out someone's nose up there, and mostly killing people, you know. I just what do you do with that one? You know, just squish it out, bring it out. You know, all kinds of different things. But the thing is that when I came to know the Lord, it was all good things. It was all things that he would teach me and show me that were right and that were godly, and how to be right with God and how to listen to God's voice. Amen? Yes. How to listen to God's voice and how to walk with God in this world. That's a huge difference between those two. I finally looked at it and said, oh, I can't put these things together. They don't go together. You can only walk one way and with one instructor. Amen? And that since the instructor is God, then he's not going to make any mistakes, right? No mistakes. And so here you have that. And so here it is. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things. And of course, the verses. Now, when I first read the Bible, when I got to the epistles, it was shooting right over my head. The epistles were just shooting right over my head. I didn't even hardly have anything to do with the epistles. I was the narratives, okay, Jesus walking. I can take this. Jesus walking on the shoreline, talking to the apostles, bringing them over, do this, illustrating things. I could do that. But the epistles, oh my, I needed help with the epistles. That's why the Lord, after a year after I was saved, had Patty and I go to a church, and my friend inviting us to a Baptist church, and the pastor preaching. And that's what I needed. I needed some instruction. And God knew that I needed some instruction. And so that's the reason why you're here. Amen? Because you want the instruction. You know, I'm sorry. I just couldn't understand. I couldn't grasp a hold of it. And now that you have instruction, oh, that's what it is. You know, this verse agrees with this verse. I didn't even know that verse was in there. Wow. You know, they both together, and this illustrates this. And I mean, God is so good to us. Amen? That's what he does. And so let's look at it. Verse 15 or 17, and he says, behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, which has reconciled unto himself. We won't go any further in this one because we're just concentrating for now. We're concentrating on this new person that God is making. This new person also, as I was growing in the Lord, I realized that this new person God had new plans for, and they needed to act a new way. Amen? That's why when you get into the different Ephesians and Galatians and all of that, it talks about the old man and the new man. Well, then I could, after Pastor brought it up, that's what this is talking about. It's talking about the old man putting away old things, the way your old life was, and then putting on the new things, that new mind. Amen? Where Romans 12 talks about that new mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. And see, I needed to learn that. I needed to learn that. Some of us, we have studied the Lord's word for a long time. You know, the thing that we need to encourage us, each and every one of us, the thing that we need to encourage us is to get someone who doesn't not know about that much about the Lord, to sit them down, to have them come over for a coffee and a cake, and to talk. Have you seen this before? Have you seen this before? Talk to them about the Lord, because there are so many people that have never had that opportunity to have just to talk to someone, and they can direct them in the Lord's word. And don't overwhelm them by your knowledge. Don't overwhelm them. Bring them to the point of where they are and go on a little further. Amen? Go on a little further. And then they'll come back and they'll say, wow, look at this. And then this new one, you know. And then just bring them on a little further. That's called growth, isn't it? I mean, the last time I knew, when you know, you had a nice plant and everything else, you didn't want to give it all the fertilizer all at once. I think you'd burn it to crisp, right? You don't want to do that. You want to give it a little bit, bite-sized pieces, amen? You know, fill them up for that particular one, and then that, next time they come over, then you can fill them up and give them some more. So anyway, so that's important. How about this one? Hebrews 11:6. We'll finish up with this one today. Okay, Hebrews 11:6. So, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, very, very prominent, very famous one, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. This here is chapter 11. So chapter 11 shows us, like in verse 1, go up there in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? And then what does it say? The evidence of things not seen. One of the things that is very, very, you could tell that you're really growing in the Lord, is faith has to do with what God has said. And we only know about what God has said by what the Bible says. Amen? There's a lot of people that would try to follow the Lord, and they're following the Lord by, I think the Lord has told me this. And the thing is that you can't, I've done that. I mean, I'm a preacher. And when God tells me to go somewhere, I understand what you're saying. Go. Do what the Lord has to do. So I'm not saying that there's not any of that within the Christian life. There's plenty of that within the Christian life. But if it goes against what God has said clearly within his word, it's not the right way. It's not the right way, right? That's what the Lord is saying. That when we do something, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Someone that is newly saved, okay, and they say, well, like I said, you know, I want to go out and I'm just going to be baptized between me and God. You know, in a way, I'll go out, find a river somewhere, and I'll just get baptized by myself. I'm sorry, but that's not according to the word of God, right? It sounds like a good idea, spiritual, you know, all of that. But no, that's not a good idea, because that's not the pattern that God has given. The church has the responsibility of baptizing people. And once you're baptized into an assembly of people that you're going to grow, and they're going to become your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? It's not your ideas. It's God's ideas. It's more than that. It's God's commands. Amen? God's commands. And that has to do with anything. It has to do with anything, any walk within your life. You can come up with all kinds of ideas. It doesn't mean they're God's ideas. And that's the thing that we have to be careful about. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Prayer is one of those things, right? So the evidence of things hoped for. Lord, please, I really need your help on this particular thing. And I really need your help. And could you please help me with this? Lo and behold, it's a substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of it was God answered that prayer. Wow. Did you see that? God answered that prayer for me. Yes. Yes, he did. So that's the evidence. The evidence that God is hearing me. Or the evidence, Lord, could you please show me a verse in the Bible that might be really helpful to me? It might be a whole month before you see that verse. But if you're consistent, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Amen? If you're consistent, lo and behold, you have this question. You'd like to have it answered. Boom. It's right there. Has that happened to anyone? Amen. Boom. Right there. There you go. There it is. Wow. Either that or pastor brings it up and he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know what you're looking for. Wow. Look at that. It was just what I was looking for. Amen. But then you have to be open to receive it, right? And so that's what we're looking at. Okay, and let's finish up. And it says, so let's go back down to 6 again. All right? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so God wants us to trust his word. I want you to walk this way. Your attitude, Jesus' attitude It'd be pretty hard for a fleshly man, for a carnal man, to understand, or a woman, to understand, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. But, you know, what they want to do is lay up for themselves treasures on the earth where moth and dust does. You know, that's where they're coming from. Well, I have this many toys. I have this much money to take care of myself. Isn't that was the real problem with one guy. Remember? I have got all this stuff. I've got all of this harvest that's come in. I tell you, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to tear down my barns and I'm going to just put in some more. And then I'm going to tell my soul, thou hast much goods, right? Laid up for many years. And then what did he say? Well, yes, that'll come. That'll come. But the attitude of him was, I have all of these different things that I've laid up for myself, right? Eat, drink, and be merry, right? And all of that. And I know I'm messing up that verse, but that's his whole attitude. But the Lord would say, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then whose shall these things be that thou hast provided, right? In other words, you're hitting in the wrong direction. It's not that we should not save for ourselves or you know, have things laid up for ourselves and for our children. That's not the thing. It's the attitude that somehow that's all life is, right? That's all life is. That is not all that life is. You could lose everything that you have right now, and if you're saved, you still have everything, right? Because God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake. And God also talking about that covetousness, right? That wasn't it that Hebrews 13:5, you're right there next to it. And doesn't it say that? It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Wow, that's a whole different atmosphere. That's a whole different thing, a whole different attitude, right? For your purpose and such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the thing. That's the attitude that God wants to see. And that was the attitude of all of those people there in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, the faith that they had in their life, and they walked. They walked with each other. They walked with each other. And so that part of it was just so important. All right. Is there anyone that want to say anything from this purpose or these particular things? This one here, we can have that. Or why salvation shows us our purpose. Very important. All right, let's go to Lord in prayer then. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us together, Lord. Thank you for showing a little bit more this particular one, talking about salvation and how that it makes such a difference and should make such a difference within our lives. Father, some of the reasons why we know that we're saved is because the attitude, our whole attitude has changed. And Lord, we want to walk with you. We want to do what you want us to do. We our whole creation, our whole life has changed because of what you have promised us and what you have done in us, in our lives. And Father, we just pray that we are so thankful for that salvation that you've given to us, that we can walk with thee. And Lord, we just pray that you would please help us, Father, to discover and to know our purpose in thee. Thank you, dear Lord, that dear Lord, for allowing us to see that there are many that walk in their lives and their lives are not going anywhere except death. But, dear Lord, our lives, once we've come to know you, are in the direction of life. And we are very thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have a good day, and we'll see you.